Greetings. This is Ziggy, and you're listening to the Star Bright Project.
Dr. Ben Song risked everything when he used the Quantum Leap Accelerator to travel back in time. Now our team's working to find out why. As he leaps between bodies with no memory of who he is, he still has one hope that his next leap takes him back to the place and people he calls home.
Hey Leapers, Quantum Leap has returned to the air, and so has Michelle, Hayden, and myself, Aaron. Join us as we look at the exploits of Ben, Addison, and the rest of the Quantum Leap crew as they work to get Ben home, and possibly discover what happened to Dr. Sam Beckett. Join us for the new series of Quantum Leap, only on the Headcast Network. And welcome to the Star Bright Project. This is Season 6, Episode 8. I am one of your hosts, Aaron, Brotherhead Moss. And as always, joining me is my beautiful wife, Michelle.
Hello.
And we're not alone. Once again, as usual, from the very merry land down under, we have Mr. Hayden McQueenie.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from an
Thank you, and I am meaner than a junkyard dog.
And that references the Moss household has a new animal in it, and we're not talking about Hayden. Here just a week or two ago, we got a new puppy, which I've named Junkyard in honor of G.I. Joe's. They have one of their dogs is named Junkyard.
Well, you'll have to put him up to the camera so that all of viewers can see him. He won't stay that little forever.
Amen.
Maybe in a little bit. He's kind of in his crate business. Doing his business. He's like, this is what I think of this show.
Hey, we've got another listener now. I think that makes two.
Yay. Who, Junkyard?
Yeah.
But anyways, we are here to talk about the new season of Quantum Leap. And it's been a while since we've done one of these, so I'm not sure what news we've announced, but it has been it's been announced that they are going to do a season two of the show. So I'm very happy about that, because again, for future listeners, past listeners, whatever, we're currently actually up ahead from where we're at. We're in the future looking back.
I think we've just watched episode 16. Where we got some pretty big answers, so our listeners will just have to wait until we get
some more questions
and talk about it.
But so anyways,
we'll put a pin in that for now.
I don't even care about pins anymore. You guys ruined it. Now that I'm watching the show, it's like, that's not as exciting to me.
Pins for all of us, because we don't know either. Before we put a pin in it, it's because you didn't know.
I tell you what, Albie is so pissed off with me because I keep picking what they're going to do. I keep getting it right. So if any of our listener is out there is listening to the Quantum Leap podcast after show as well, you'll know by now that, I think that the producers and the writers are, stalking our shows to get writing ideas, because it seems like whatever I say seems to be ending up on the screen.
Well, then maybe they need to call you.
Maybe you're stalking them.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
You're breaking into their computer. Are you a hacker, Hayden?
Reading their scripts and things where they get a chance to film it. And
I swear I have never hacked anyone with a hacksaw.
Not with a machete. I'm talking about on the computer.
At least that's what his lawyer told him to say. So, anyways, let's go and get started on this episode. Again, this is episode
maybe
8.
I'm the hacker that's hacking Ziggy.
Maybe you're the mole.
Well, I am fat. I am blind. I am hairy. And I never leave my dark hole. So I suppose maybe I am the mole.
There you go. That settles it. So this episode is entitled Stand By Ben.
So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand by me. Stand by me.
directed by Avi Yobin. I'm probably butchering that, as I want to do, and is written by Emily Kim. The leap location date was July the 10th, 1996, in Lawson County, California. And the original air date was November the 7th, 2022. Ben leaps into Ben Winters, he uses his own name this time, a teenager who escapes from an abusive academy for troubled youth with three other teens, Stacy, Roy, and Leah. Addison tells Ben he's there to save the kids who got lost following a car crash and died of exposure. With Addison's guidance, Ben leads the kids towards an empty cabin. They're able to make it, even though Leah breaks an ankle on the way. Unfortunately, the school staff tracks them, and Leah sacrifices herself to allow the others to escape. They enlist the aid of Leah's uncle, a local news reporter, to expose the school's brutal practices and secure the release. Addison reveals that the kids go on to lead productive lives and remain friends up until the present.
They go on to lead productive wives?
Lives, not wives. Well, maybe. Ben's experience with the kids trigger his memories of recruiting Janice, and before he leaps, he tells Addison that he finally remembers why he leapt in the first place.
Did he really recruit Janice, though? It just sounds
save
like...
her.
I don't really think he recruited her, did he?
Yeah, he went to Janice because...
Oh, he went to... Okay, yeah. I guess so.
In 2022...
I've got to try and not be spoilery in my answers, so... I'm sure, Aaron, you're going to have a great time editing this because I can't for the life of me remember what was from each episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember too.
I kind of remember the whole lot all at once now. So.
In 2022, Jen uses the local power grid to track Janice's imaging chamber, but Janice sees them coming through PQL security feeds and locks down the facility to buy time to escape. And just an interesting side note, Lawson County, where this took place, is north of us, up by the Nevada border, up near Redding, California. I had to look up exactly where it was at.
Oh, I wonder if anyone's in Anaheim at the moment, because this weekend is when they're doing WonderCon, and the cast and the producers of the current iteration of Quantum Leap are going to be in a panel there taking questions.
I had the money and time to go down and see them. But...
Well, you two are in California, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're only like 3.5 hours away from Anaheim, if that.
Go. You've got all weekend. Get down this there.
Yeah, Grayson's running 101 fever.
And sick.
The worst virus of all.
I'm telling you. So let's talk about kids. Let's talk about some kids. So again, this is our first time watching it. Well, actually, we watched it a couple of times. Yeah, a couple of times now, but... This is all our, you know, we all had a watch through recently, somewhat. And let's go ahead and start with Michelle.
No, it's going to start with me.
Okay. Well, I'll start then. I enjoyed this episode. It's not the greatest, but it's by far means not the worst. That was a very good written episode. I do like that Ben got to use his name, even though, I know, usually whenever Sam would leap into someone with his own name, it would be actually brought up, hey, Sam, you get to use your own name. They didn't really mention it this time, but...
I think Ben might have mentioned it briefly right at the start, but then it wasn't mentioned.
Well, so, yeah, usually it's
he did.
It's usually a bigger deal, it seems to me, or maybe it's just I'm high. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I remember that now. You're right, Hayden.
Yeah, but I think that he didn't really make that big a deal out of it, though. They would have made a bigger deal of it in the original series. I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
Like when he was Samantha Stormer, or when he was Sam Biederman.
I was trying to remember his last name when he was in the insane asylum.
Speaking of which, Ben leaps to an insane asylum soon too.
Yes, yes. Shades of previous leaps, as we've talked about.
Yeah. Well, it does feel like they're doing a lot of shades of previous leaps. I think just about every episode has had something you could compare it back to the original series with, and it does make me think that, I mean, I haven't seen the end of the series yet, so I don't know, but it does make me think that there is probably something to do with the archives and what they've discovered in there from what Sam did, and maybe Ben needs to do something similar in order to get where he needs to go to do his business.
Well, at first, when she talked about her, she had an uncle who works for a news broadcast, I wasn't thinking that she's more Asian. But at first, I was kind of wondering or hoping it was, help me out, Hayden, what's his name? The reporter?
Roberto?
Roberto. I was like, oh, it'd be nice if her uncle was Roberto. Oh, she's more Asian.
That would be cool, yeah. Imagine if it was Roberto while Sam had leapt into it.
Oh, that'd been interesting. That would have been very interesting.
I don't even know who Roberto is.
It's an episode.
Yeah, we have to watch that episode too. Yeah, we do soon. That was actually not a bad episode. He leapt into, so in that one, Sam leapt into a TV host named Roberto. Apparently it was based on Geraldo.
Yeah, I was going to say, very much shades of Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah, and the vault that was empty and all that, that yeah. seemed to reference quite a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, so at first when I she first mentioned an uncle that was on the news, I'm like, oh, maybe it's Roberto. Okay, wait a minute. I don't think
if she'd been Hispanic, they could have done
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, she doesn't look Hispanic, though, so I guess not. But
she looked like either her mom or dad was Asian, and then her mom was either white or Hispanic to me.
Yeah, her uncle was very much, seemed much more Asian than she was.
Yeah, which means.
So maybe there is.
I think she's, you know, of multiple cultures.
Well, this was what, like, set in the 90s, wasn't it?
96, the year I graduated from high school.
1996.
They were name-dropping the Spice Girls and things like that, which I thought was kind of cool. So, yeah, I guess maybe Geraldo might have been a little bit, you know, too late, but they could imagine if her uncle was Jerry Springer.
But no, this actually seemed like an actual reporter, so like the others you've been mentioning, so
would have been funny. But anyway, I am interested to hear what Michelle's thoughts on the episode are.
It reminded me of the movie Holes.
Yeah, it is a little bit like Holes.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
No, it's pretty much Holes. Like, they go to a camp for kids, their counselors are horrible. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit different because they're looking for kissing Kate Barlow and all that. But I mean, it they're trying to get away. It to me, it was just like kind of a ripoff from Holes. So as much as I relatively liked it, even like the second time watching, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I was right. Because at first I was kind of second guessing myself, like, oh, it's like Holes. No, it can't be. So like once I had that Holes representation in my head, I was guessing the whole episode all the way through. There was like no surprises for me. So it was okay, but definitely on my bottom of my list of ones that I enjoyed.
I don't think it was that clear.
There was some similarities, like the camp for troubled kids.
Right.
The fact that ultimately it was the lawyer and the reporter at the end who did manage to rescue the kids and expose the camp for what it was.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a little bit. Also very much shades of Stand By Me. I mean, obviously they name drop it in the title.
Yeah.
Too. So, yeah, I mean, you could say that about any media, though. I think I've said this several times. There hasn't been an original idea for decades.
Right. And
if someone did really come up with something original, no one would like it because we're all kind of stuck in our own little mindsets now of what to expect. So that didn't bother me too much. What did bother me a little bit was how stupid the kids were. Like, they run away, no food, no water, no supplies, no money, no real plan, except we're getting over to, I think it was Las Vegas. Was it Vegas?
Reno.
Yeah.
But apparently Reno wasn't too far away and they stole a car and their kids. So yeah, they're going to be kind of lame. Not saying that all kids are lame, but they probably didn't have access to all of that, except for Klepto, who stole what he could.
Yeah, but you would at least think if you were going to do something like that, you'd have some kind of plan in motion. You'd have some kind of a
way to get through.
Yeah, you lived with teenagers? We've raised
I was just an intelligent teenager. I don't know.
And a half.
We've got one that's a teenager now. We've got two that's adults that was teenagers not too long ago.
Even in their 20s, they were something else.
So I could definitely see them not thinking long term. They're thinking
clearly.
Very much, we got to get out of here.
It's fight or flight.
Yeah. So that didn't bother me because, again, they're stupid kids. And
we say that with love in our hearts because kids are amazing. Because they are. Kids are amazing. They're resilient. And yes, Hayden, you're right. I think they are a little bit smarter than that. But I think with their backgrounds and their fight or flight that they had and the whole thing of they just got to get out to survive, you know, they're thinking maybe they have a 4-hour car trip or whatever the case may be. Yeah. You don't need a lot of water then. They did have a plan. Someone grabbed a map just in case. They did go and try to get things to help them, but Klepto decided to be like, major FUs and still things that mean stuff to the cap counselors. Someone did bring a bottled water, you know. So, I mean, there were things, but really, to be honest with you, if it's a 4-hour trip, they're not thinking it's going to take them into the woods.
And actually, real quick, just to interrupt you, I looked it up online, and from Lawson County, California to Reno, Nevada, it's 1.5 hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a quick trip.
Or, I'm sorry, 2 hours. 1 hour and 51 minutes.
See, I was thinking it might have been the other side of the country or something like that.
No, no, it's like
I'm not familiar with American geometry.
Oh, come
American
on.
American geometry? American geography.
I'm not.
That's okay. American geometry. I'm not. Yeah, exactly. or Australian.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Lawson County is like right on the border of California and Nevada.
Yeah. I think we can also explain a little bit of the what I perceived as stupidity of the kids by the fact that a lot of them have suffered a lot of abuse. Mm-hmm. I think some of them had substance abuse problems other issues with their mental capacity.
Yeah, the one kid in there was a drug addict.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand the fact that they're not really thinking all that clearly, but yeah, it just seemed a bit unbelievable that they would make this with the kind of journey without putting a decent amount of planning in, even though, like you said, they did have some.
Right. But they also couldn't have really been around each other for very often. You know, maybe it was just meeting, you know, passing by in hallways and stuff. Hey, you want to get out? Yeah, I want to get out. You know, it could have been that kind of thing, but that's speculation. But
yeah, the way they talked,
I'd seen it that they probably had been close in the camp.
Because Ben's character, Ben, he would just been in there like a week or two, they said.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
he was
true.
Relatively new arrival. So, and like I say, it was only less than a 2-hour car ride. So, yeah, they didn't need food or water because 2 hours are there.
There was one thing I did like. That was when Ben had to talk to Addison. He didn't give a shit that people were watching him, you know, talking to himself, because he was able to pass it off as the leapy Ben's eccentricities. I just thought that was kind of cool. So he could just treat Addison like she was there. And I loved
his imaginary hottie girlfriend.
Yeah, his imaginary hot girlfriend.
It was very much a teenager, a guy thing to say. So is she hot? Because if not, what's the use?
I just thought that was kind of cool. Yeah, look, overall, it's not a bad episode at all. It's definitely watchable, even though I do occasionally have to suspend my disbelief. I thought that there were some good emotional moments in there. It did really feel like, you know, they were forming a close friendship during the time, and
right.
It felt believable that they would stay close afterwards.
Well, usually when people go through a traumatic event together, they stay pretty well close friends, you know, and
yeah.
It becomes something that they can bond over.
Yeah.
Just too bad that Addison didn't show up 5 minutes sooner and let her know, hey, Howard, slow down. Your tire's going to blow out. I could have prevented the whole episode.
So what do you think about Magic and what's her name? Jen in the elevator?
Yeah. See, I think that a theme that they were trying to get through the episode was it's your choice who you associate with, who you keep in your life, and right. Who you cut out of your life if they're toxic to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Magic kind of trying to push Jen into, you know,
talking to her father.
Yeah, trying to get some kind of a relationship happening with the father again, because Jen's perfectly entitled to her feelings, and, you know, to try and push her into something else, it is gaslighting her in a way, trying to make her feel like her feelings are invalid and that she should just put them aside and move on. Yeah, so look, if she feels like that her father was toxic and bringing her down, and, you know, she thought that she was doing better without him, then so be it. I don't see any problem with that. But then again, if she's open to a reconciliation, then, you know, you can encourage her there too, but don't try and push her into anything she's not comfortable doing. So I actually didn't like that side of things too much. But then again, you know, we don't know all that much about her life. We don't know what has gone on. That's just my feelings about it.
And I see where it comes from. I'm kind of on the fence because, yeah, you know, we don't quite know exactly what happened. Is her dad in the wrong? Is she in the wrong? Is it just some sort of miscommunication thing? And again, I'm willing to give it a little more of a chance, and maybe Batman and maybe Magic knows more about the situation and knows that, you know, her dad's not, in quotes, the bad guy.
Well, I don't know about that because she made it very clear that he would borrow money and then skip out and then she would be disappointed again. It's kind of like kids whose parents are divorced and they show up for a little bit, try to play all nicey-nicey, and then they disappear for a long time and then they show up again. That gives a lot of people a lot of issues. Oh. I mean, look at Steve. You know, our son's biological mother kind of did that to him. She left when he was in diapers. And then when he turned 18, she decided to show up in his life and then fed him a bunch of lies and then ended up back in jail again because she's just that kind of a person. And it really devastated him. So I see how even as an adult, you're trying to guard yourself from that hurt.
Yeah. And we do know also that Jen, you know, has been in prison. She was a well-known hacker. And the way that she's talking, it also makes me think that maybe the father led her down some wrong paths. And maybe she just feels like, no, I'm not going to let this person have any influence on my life while I'm trying to get back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. And she's doing such a good job and doing something good in her life. Why would she want him to come in and just screw that all up?
Yeah. But then again, you know, there was the theme throughout the episode that, you know, there is the opportunity for forgiveness. There is the opportunity for reparations if need be. We saw that with, I've forgotten what the girl's name was, the one that broke her leg. The fact that she did want to have some sort of a relationship with her family, even after they'd abandoned her. The fact that she, you know, still felt very close with her uncle and she wasn't willing to cut out the entire family.
Well, it's like Ben was saying that, you know, when he said that, you know, maybe she wants to forgive them or at least try reconciliation. And Stacey's like, well, who's that going to help? Who is that going to help? And Ben's like, it's going to help Leah. So, I mean, depending, you know, each person's different and the circumstances may, you know, we don't know exactly. But yeah, so maybe it would be good for Jen to have some sort of reconciliation or clearing the air with her father, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but my feeling is it really hurts me, you know, reading these posts like, forgive often, it's good for the soul and all this sort of shit. Yeah, nah, bullshit. If somebody's hurt you, you are well within your rights to, you know, hold a grudge and hate them and to, you know, not allow yourself to let them, you know, have any kind of further influence on what you say. You might accept that it happened and you might not let it anger you anymore, but at the same time, you can also say, no, I'm not going to have you in my life and I'm not going to have you do anything else which is going to potentially put me in the same situations that I was in before.
Yeah, you don't live on hating somebody because that's just not good on for you. But as you were saying, you can still not hate somebody, but still don't get back to that same situation.
Yeah.
Don't pitch yourself out there to be hurt again or to be, you know, damaged or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Forgiveness is different to forgetting. It's worth pointing out. You know.
Yeah, I have always said with my biological father, who was really not a nice guy, I just lost my first husband and out of the blue, he ends up calling my mother and says that he's dying of cancer and he wanted to talk to me or whatever. And it took a long time for me to process that because he made me fear for my life on several occasions. And so when it came time for me to call him, which I did, it wasn't about giving him any chance to say he was sorry or anything like that. Even though he did say he was sorry, I didn't believe it. I feel like he was just trying to, you know, do whatever to clear his conscience. But for me, I forgave him, but I would never forget what he put me through. And which means I was never going to allow him to just feel like I was erasing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I feel like with Leah, I feel like she's like a lot of, and I know this was probably written in there for that reason, but there are so many kids out there whose parents reject them because of their sexual orientation. And these kids still love their parents. I mean, a lot of times kids who are hurt by their parents, they still love their parents because that's what we're biologically set to do, is to love our parents because they are who gave birth to us or whatever. We're connected to them. But she kept saying, but my uncle's really good and he's really nice. He's different from them, which means I feel like maybe he was not as religious as her family was. And that was a lot of it. That's what played into it, was the religion aspect. And sometimes people can't figure out what religion is versus following some dumb rules. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I just feel like that's how I felt about Leah and her uncle. And it wasn't that she felt, yeah, she did feel deserted and she did feel hurt and stuff. But I feel like she wasn't ready to let go of that aspect of her life yet. And she wasn't ready for it. She needed to grow into it. Or someone else needed to show her the love that she should have gotten. And I think that's what her uncle was there to do.
That's it. Well, everybody needs a positive influence. That's the thing. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the kids were in that camp because they didn't really have any positive influences and people that they could rely on, people that could show them the right, you know, path to go on. And they were just willing to abandon them, you know, anytime things got tough.
Yeah, like Roy was talking about his father being hitting him and he swore he wasn't going to be that way and all this stuff. And he's like, all kids, you know, they say that, but then they go back to it. But yet when Addison got the Ziggy information, she's like, oh, yeah, he's got four kids and, you know, is leading a productive life. And so that was neat to hear. And then also that Stacy was running her own hotel in Vegas. So they all kind of were able to do good positive things in their lives. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I was seeing it over this episode.
Well, I actually think it was kind of a good plan that they did come up with on the fly, where Leah decided to sacrifice herself, but had let it slip that, you know, her uncle was in the media and that her uncle would help them. And that, you know, Ben was able to come up with the idea, well, let's get the reporters over there. We'll show the world what's going on at this camp and we can get it shut down. So I actually thought that was quite a good conclusion to the episode too.
My thing is, how did Stacy know the phone number unless she just redialed it in the like if there was a redial button on the phone? How does she know the uncle's number?
Hit the redial button. See, what I'd be more concerned about is how a cabin that's completely off the grid has a landline phone attached to it.
Good question. Or how they were talking about the technology aspect and she's like, we can be pen pals. And then someone's like, well, we can mail each other. And then someone's like, we could email each other.
That was kind of cool.
Because I was like, oh, yeah, back 96. Like, I was barely learning how to do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And those lines are good. It does make you feel like you're in the past. Whereas, you know, if they didn't have anything like that, it could really have been set at any time period.
Right.
So they're getting better at being able to make it feel like particular time periods. I think that has been a little bit of a flaw with this series so far, because a lot of the leaps are in such recent history, it doesn't actually feel like it's a time travel show.
Right, whereas the previous went far enough.
Yeah, the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, they all had that retro feel to them. Maybe it's just because, you know, I didn't live through those times. Maybe older people who were watching it at the time felt nostalgia rather than having a feeling of it being retro. But I think that they're getting better, though, at being able to make it feel like they're in a time period, in a period piece, rather than just a story that could have happened at any time.
But that is part of the problem going against the show is, the last couple of decades doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of difference other than like music and a few things here and there, whereas from the 80s to... like you're saying, the 50s and 60s, it seems to be a bigger difference in the way things are. So that's one thing the show has going against it, I think.
And not only that, but like you were saying, Michelle, there's the technological side of things. Because the 80s and 90s were closer to a lot of the technological advancements we've got now, it doesn't feel that long ago. Whereas in, you know, the 50s and 60s, where all they essentially had were landlines and things like that. Yeah, it does feel different.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the project having to essentially go into lockdown because Janice locked them out?
I don't know.
And again, for everyone that's listening, we've been doing pretty good, but there may be spoilers for upcoming episodes. But again, since we are dealing in the past, you've probably already seen those episodes. So probably not a spoiler for you, but just in case, just be warned, we may reference things that happen in the future. For instance, when that happened, with now watching it this time around, with future knowledge, Michelle was wondering if
Ziggy had something to do with it.
Ziggy had something to do with the lockdown.
Well, Janice could essentially control Ziggy, couldn't she? Because she's right. got the original Hanley. Or she could at least connect to Ziggy, even if she doesn't have full control. There's obviously...
But no, the recent revelations, Michelle was wondering if it was just Ziggy doing it.
Oh, right. Yeah, well...
Janice through Ziggy.
Maybe, yeah. But, well, the thing with Ziggy is it's an extremely powerful artificial intelligence that right. is seeing millions of different possible timelines all at once, depending on different choices that get made.
Right.
So you probably have a good point there that with Janice hacking in, maybe Ziggy's gone and analyzed a bunch of different timelines, and for Ziggy's purpose, she might have thought that this was the way to go, and that's why she allowed Janice to take control for a while. There is yep. that possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, we won't know until we find out, but it's a good possibility.
And it was kind of funny seeing Addison stuck in the imaging chamber, Jen and Magic stuck in the elevator, Ian essentially trying to do everything from Ziggy when couldn't really get in. And yeah, it was kind of funny to watch.
I don't know if Addison was locked in there because they kept saying, hey, Addison, can you come here for a minute? She was like, I'm busy right now. She wasn't
locked in there
no.
physically, but she felt she couldn't leave.
Well, maybe metaphorically locked in there instead.
Or emotionally locked in there or something. Yeah.
Just not technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they could have easily written it that when Janice shut everything yeah. down, it closed the imaging chamber off from everything else too. I think that has happened in the original series before. So, yeah. So that is that possibility as well.
I'm really shocked I'm remembering like all of this stuff. Like,
yeah, even from the original series, you're remembering quite a lot, aren't you?
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, but look, a lot of people have big issues with the fact that we have the side quests at Project Quantum Leap.
Right.
That we don't just have the whole episode focus in on. It doesn't bother me. I always like, you know, keeping my brain active when I watch something. And, you know, I don't mind having, you know, a B plot going on at the same time. It is nice if they mesh together better, and spoiler alert, the episodes do get a lot better with that, but I seem to find it fine. And
yeah, I'm enjoying it. I have no problem with, like we talked about earlier, maybe it would be better if it was an hour and a half long episode so they could focus a little more in on the leap. But
see, I don't feel like it's a B plot. I think it's still continuously with the A plot because they're doing stuffed for the leap.
Right.
It's not necessarily a whole different story. It's just the other part of it. They're kind of in the background. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was talking more about the whole mystery side of things. The maybe B plot wasn't the best wording, but the mystery box side of things going on, you know, what was Ben's mission overall? Why did he leap? How is Janice involved? All of that stuff. The fact they're dip feeding us, you know, little answers as we go and building more and more questions as we go too. See, a lot of people get annoyed by that. I don't mind it because, you know, getting a little answer here and there, it's keeping us watching because, you know, we want to know what's going to happen. It's basic story structure.
One thing I like about it, to me, it's very reminiscent of the 90s Superman comics because in the 90s, there was 3, 4, 5 Superman titles going on. And for 5, 8 years, something like maybe a decade, they had what was called the triangle era where each cover of the Superman book had a triangle on it and it told what issue, you know, it was like 1993 issue 1. And it went through, there was Superman, Action Comics, Adventures of Superman, then a couple of others. And each issue focused on its own story. But then also at the same time, there was basically B plot that was running through that was going into each of the books. It kind of reminds me of that, you know, you got the main leap going on in the main part of the story, but then the continuing subplot or the subplot, I guess it is, of, you know, what's going on in the future or the present or past for us now. I mean, each episode, Ben is basically a standalone story. He leaps into, in this case, 1996 and has to deal with what he's dealing with at that time. And it's a one and done episode, much like the original series. But there's also that second part of the story that Hayden referred to as the B story that's running through the entire series of what's going on at the project and why did Ben leap early and all this other stuff that kind of ties it all together. Hmm. So I do like that. Again, it's like we said, it would probably be a little better if it was a little bit longer show so we could focus more on the leap itself. But yeah, I've got no problem with the present stuff happening. In fact, I like the mystery of it and, you know, what's going on and who, you know, who is Leaper X and all this other stuff. So,
yeah. And I'm always keen to see more Jen.
Yeah.
I like Hashtag Jen. Team Jen.
I don't know. I like Jen. I like Ian. I like Magic.
Yeah. See, a lot of people on the Facebook group were saying they thought maybe Magic might have been the mole.
Right.
He just seems to be maybe too good, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
You also have to understand, too, he's in the military. So if he gets orders from higher up, he has to follow them. He's probably the one that would say, oh, I was just following orders if something bad was to happen. And he would be the one, I think, that would be least likely to go against that if there was that, you know, moral objection coming through. Addison, too, maybe, because she's in the military as well. It seems to me that maybe Jen and Ian are more likely the moral compasses, which is funny considering that Jen's an ex-felon. But, they seem like they might be the ones that are going to drive the show to do the best that they can rather than what they're ordered to do, if that makes sense.
I agree with you, but I don't. Because of Addison's attachment to Ben, I think she's more willing to break the rules. And normally, yes, I think she would be very, very much by the rules because, again, military and all that. But I think with Ben's involvement, that kind of tips her more to the heck with the rules, heck with regulations. I need to do what's best for my fiancé.
Well, that's fair. And we did find out at the end of the episode that the reason that Ben did leap initially was to save Addison. We don't actually know what's going to happen with Addison, but it could be she has to make some choice and she makes the wrong choice and that, she ends up paying for it with her life. So Ben has to try and prevent that. Although, as we've established, I'm still trying to get my head around why he has to leap in order to do this in the future when he could just wait and get there in the future. That's the only thing that I'm still trying to get my head around. But I guess we'll find out.
And again, yeah, we'll have to wait and find out. We haven't heard yet, but I'm wondering if it's, I mean, yes, he could wait possibly, but if it's something to do with one of the leaps, it might be, you know, he might not be able to affect it from the, when he gets there in the future. So it may be something that she does on a leap that he can do differently or do better or do. But again, yeah, we're just all guessing at this point because.
Yeah. And it could also be, this is what Albie's daughter Serenity said. She was saying that she thinks that Ben has to do every one of these leaps because something or someone in every one of the leaps is going to help in each subsequent leap. So we might find that there's this compounding of effects from his leaps to help him ultimately fix his goal. I think Chris described it as laying the track as you're moving.
Right.
So there is that possibility too.
That's an interesting thought. I like that. I'm not sure I'm speaking for future episodes or if they've mentioned this already, but I mean, there is, seems to be a set path that he's following,
I think they did already establish that he has pre-programmed these leaps, but we don't know for what purpose yet. But I guess it would make sense if, say, in the heist episode, they needed to keep someone alive who had died in the explosion. Maybe in the Atlantis episode, they might need the space technology to help out with the slingshotting. Maybe in the boxing episode, maybe the military guy is going to end up higher up in the military and maybe he's more sympathetic to Quantum Leap and might keep the project around longer. You don't know what all these effects from the time travel actually are. And we know that Ziggy is capable of taking millions and millions of different possible outcomes and plotting, you know, a trajectory to get what they want. That's essentially what Ben has done. So, yeah, I could actually definitely see that being the case. And I'm hoping if they do tie that this, you know, storyline up before the end of the series that we do find out, you know, what is the effect that every leap has had and, you know, has it had this cumulative positive effect that Ben needed?
Yeah, since they have laid out that the leaps are programmed and he's got to take the certain trajectory, it would be nice if there is some sort of payoff for that.
I still think he's leaping something for Sam. That's my thing. I think it all has to go back to Sam.
If I was writing this, and if Scott Bakula was willing to come back, the way I would write it is that Ben has this plan in place, but something happens towards the end, which is unexpected, and it looks like he's going to fail. But then Sam leaps in and helps to save the day. Something Sam does might. That would be a nice way, a nice nod to the original series, proof that this is in fact a continuation of the show. A lot of people have complained that even though they do name drop Sam and Al and lots of other stuff that's happened in the previous series, it still feels like an entirely new show. So it would be nice if we did have, you know, Sam have some effect in what we're doing. We know he was originally supposed to be in the pilot. In fact, it was with Sam's intervention that Ben was convinced to leap. There was going to be a scene with Scott Bakula and Janice together, but obviously he didn't want to do it. If it was only a very small cameo, I don't blame him for not wanting to. He might have wanted a more juicy role. So give him what he wants.
You can't blame him, but logically, okay, you can't blame him. But
just as long as it's that, you know, the viewers know that he is still a force for good out there.
Right.
He can help when need be. You know, that would be nice.
I wonder what it was like for Sam to be leaping and then all of a sudden Al never come back.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially what did end up happening, wasn't it? Because they lost Sam. They couldn't get hold of him after he saved Al's marriage to Beth. Not because it stopped Al from being at the project. He was still there and had spent a great deal of his life, basically the rest of his life, obsessing on bringing Sam back. That's, in fact, why Beth didn't want Janice getting involved, because she was worried that she might waste her life obsessing over this too. Yeah, it would be difficult for Sam, I bet, especially because how is he supposed to put right what once has gone wrong if he's got no one there to tell him what has gone wrong? He would need more control over the leaping. Maybe it's a Back to the Future 2 situation where he leaps a little bit further than he needs to be, finds out what's gone wrong, and then leaps back just enough to be able to change it.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Or it could be an early, or it could be an early edition sort of situation. He gets the newspaper a day in advance.
Well, see, my first thought was maybe he just, once he started leaping on his own, if you will, maybe he just had that knowledge in his head what he needs to do. But having thought that and hearing your thoughts, I like your thought better. Where he leaps in and then he leaps back to fix what went wrong.
But I guess we won't know, at least until they decide to write it in.
Right.
Yeah. But look,
I
would be surprised if we never see Sam again.
Right.
I think he's got to show up somewhere along the way, but it would have to be in some form that Scott Bakula is happy with.
Yes.
I think that the writers and the producers are still keen on having him appear somewhere along the way once he's ready and willing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the level of viewers would just increase.
Well, that's it.
Bakula was part of the cast.
Do you have any other thoughts, Michelle?
Nope.
Yeah, I think it was a really nice episode. Not brilliant, but definitely very watchable and able to be rewatched without me getting angry. So,
and I'm right there with you. I say it wasn't the worst episode. It wasn't the best episode. It was right about in the middle.
Yeah. And like we say, you know, even the worst episode of Quantum Leap has good parts to it. And this is better than that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for joining us once again, Mr. Hayden McQueenie.
No worries at all.
I guess that's going to do it for this episode. Tune in next time. When I forget what next episode it is.
So do I.
Because this was right before the break.
Yeah, and they didn't show where he leapt out to, did they?
No, and that's one thing I like, but I don't like about the show, is that they don't show the next leap all the time. I mean, I like as far as like sitting, you can watch. Well, actually, no, that wouldn't work in this one. As I say, you watch like in any order, and it wouldn't really matter, but you got the backstory going on, so actually that would matter. So...
yeah. Well, the next episode is Fellow Travelers, and that's where Ben is a bodyguard for a famous singer.
Sounds a little familiar. Again, shades of previous episodes.
And I will always love you.
Thank you for listening to the Star Bright Project. Join us monthly as we continue leaping with Sam and Al. If you like the show, I recommend buying Quantum Leap on Blu-ray. You can also watch it on the NBC website or app.
The only thing on this show that Michelle and I own are our thoughts and opinions. NBC Universal own the rights to Quantum Leap, and any songs that we use are owned by their respective owners. Any clips we use, we're using good faith for the show. I know this doesn't excuse us legally, but we just want NBC to sue us. We're just big fans of the show and want to share that love with the world. For more podcasting goodness, check out the other shows on the Headcast Network. Headspeaks is released on the first Tuesday of the month, where I talk about comics, TV shows, movies, books, and whatever I want, but it's usually geek-related. G.I. Joe, Aurora Mucket Headcast, is normally out the second Tuesday of the month, where a rotating batch of guest hosts and I discuss the G.I. Joe comics and cartoons from the 80s. The third Thursday brings us Task Force X, where I talk about John Ostrander's Suicide Squad and Paul Kupperberg's Checkmate comics, both from the late 80s, early 90s. Finally, the fourth Tuesdays of the month, we have the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, where I examine the Will Payton Starman comic and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comics, again, both from the late 80s. Then on Thursdays, I release my second batch of shows, where Michelle shows up on most of them. The first Thursday of the month, I'll be releasing the Starbright Project, a Quantum Leap podcast, where Michelle and I look at the greatest time travel show in the late 80s and early 90s. Then the second Thursday of the month, look for Retrospect of the 80s. You guessed it, Michelle and myself take a time travel trip back to the greatest decade that was, in my opinion. The third Thursday will possibly, maybe bring another show, Voyager's Cast, where Michelle, I, and some guests look at the best time travel show from the early 80s. And finally, on the fourth Thursday of the month, I have Bravo Team, where myself and possibly some guest hosts talk about anything G.I. Joe related, not covering the main G.I. Joe show. Also, if you like what I'm doing, please check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/headcastnetwork. If you're enjoying my shows, throw a few bucks in the bin. It'd be most appreciated. But that'll do it for this episode. Join us next time to see where Sam ends up.
Oh boy.